This summer, Hollywood let loose a barrage of summer blockbusters. When we asked Weekend Edition's film commentator Kevin Murphy for his opinion of these movies, we assumed he'd already seen them.
Okay, let's see here. Finding Nemo, great film, can't use that. Came out too early. Okay, here's one. Hulk, that's good. Can do that. Bend It Like Beckham, no, not a blockbuster. Let's see, Swimming Pool, not a blockbuster. Wing Migration, no. The Whale Rider, no. Fassbender Revival at the Art House, definitely not. Wait a minute. These are all independent films. God's holy trousers, I forgot to see the summer blockbusters. What was I thinking? This meant, of course, that I had to go to the theater and see every summer blockbuster I could in one day. Lord, help me. You see, generally, I'm not much for blockbusters. I'd seen Hulk. I actually liked Hulk. Everything but the monster who looked like Shrek in a bad wig and some spandex capri pants. That's Hulk tackling a helicopter and going bam-bam on it. But Hulk was slow-paced, ponderous, and weird, which is pretty dang adventurous for a blockbuster. But what is a blockbuster? The word climbed into the dictionary during World War II to describe a bomb big enough to turn whole buildings into rubble. You use a blockbuster, to paraphrase Samuel L. Jackson from the movie Jackie Brown for a PG audience, when you absolutely positively got to kill every mamma jamma in the room. So, it was off to the theater for 10-plus hours of getting my block busted. 12 noon. First movie of the day is SWAT. I bought a lemonade and a medium popcorn. SWAT stars Colin Farrell as Jim Street, a cop who won't play by the rules, who's in trouble with his captain. He teams up with veteran SWAT leader Hondo, played by Samuel L. Jackson, another cop who won't play by the rules and who's in trouble with his captain.
I will give $100 million to whoever gets me out of here.
What the hell happened?
Our motorcade has been hit.
Stay alert, they're coming out of the woods.
SWAT essentially is about car chases, blowing up things, and shooting people. And it has a fashionably despicable French bad guy, allowing us to build our misplaced resentment to a fever pitch. Other than that, the plot could have been pulled straight from the original 1970s TV series and peppered with the latest in four-letter words. I pulled a couple high school men walking out of the theater, and they gave it the ultimate in damning praise. It was okay for what it was supposed to be, I guess. 2:10, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. I snuck in a box of shopping mall sushi and a fizzy water and sat with a handful of retired men, most of whom left because the movie was so damn loud! Arnold Schwarzenegger stars as a robot from the future who won't play by the rules, sent back in time to protect John Connor, the one man who will save humankind, but also won't play by the rules. They're chased by an indestructible Barbie doll, played by Christiana Loken. Claire Danes plays a perpetually scared person. Enjoy this touching scene.
John Connor was here. Where did he go?
Well, the movie stunk worse than my sushi. I'd seen it all before just an hour ago. Crash cars, shoot people, blow up things. Now insert scenes, lines, and characters stolen from previous Terminator movies and dump it on poor, stupid us. Despicable. I was the only one left in the theater at the end. The popcorn oil mixed with the sushi in my stomach and made me queasy. The one and only redeeming moment was Claire Danes' smile. It lasted all of 3 seconds. 4:30 p.m., Bad Boys 2, another bottle of fizzy water and some M&Ms for me. Somebody brought their whole family, including an adorable girl of about 5 or 6, and an infant. They brought them to Bad Boys 2, a movie that refers to its characters having sex with their progenitors every 10 seconds. The kids used the theater as their personal McDonaldland playground, and the parents spent the movie on their cell phones. Ladies and gentlemen, the modern movie-going audience, stand up, take a bow. Oh, in the movie? Guess what? Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are two cops who won't play by the rules, and they're in trouble with their captain. Big flippin' surprise!
I got it.
Etc. The car chases make no sense. At least 300 people are killed, and cops once again are portrayed as wealthy, stupid, psychotic vigilantes. If I was a cop, I'd be insulted. But who cares? People burn through these movies like Ford Tempo rent-a-cars. You know what you're getting, you get it, and you get out. Is this movie going? Well, 6 hours of this crap tells me no. No! There's got to be better. There's got to be. 7:20 p.m. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. No food, no beverage, I have a headache and a churning stomach. Now the comic books have been gutted and disposed of, Disney has begun to eat its own tail by plundering its theme park attractions. Johnny Depp, he stars as a pirate who won't play by the rules. Oh, dear Lord, help me. Take me now.
Last time I saw you, you were all alone on a godforsaken island, shrinking into the distance. His fortunes aren't improved much.
Worry about your own fortunes, gentlemen. The deepest circle of hell is reserved for betrayers and mutineers.
Okay, now, this is funny. My headache is subsiding. The audience is laughing. There's the usual horrible action film editing, the orgy of explosions and pointless story, but no car chases. And Johnny Depp has single-handedly saved the movie and my day by turning in the most brave and wonderfully idiotic character I've seen in an action movie since Rick Moranis as Vince Clortho in the original Ghostbusters. I now love Johnny Depp, and I want to tattoo my name in his arm where it used to say, Winona Forever. 9:45 p.m., and bolstered by an orange Julius and a pretzel, I'm on my way to Seabiscuit. I know it's not technically a blockbuster, but by damn, it should be. Seabiscuit is the story of a horse, and I'll say it because this time it's true. A horse who won't play by the rules, and the man who shouldn't have owned him, the trainer who shouldn't have trained him, and the jockey who shouldn't have ridden him, and how together they win. And oh, how they win.
Though he be but little, he is fierce.
What's that?
That's Shakespeare, boys. That's Shakespeare.
Am I dreaming, or was Shakespeare quoted in a summer movie without anybody getting blown up or killed? Here's a summer film not about saving your ass with a gun or a sword, but about clawing your way up from the depths of your depression by turning to the person next to you and offering them a hand. The theater was full of attentive people, often silent, occasionally tearful. Then in turn smiling, cheering, laughing, not at race jokes or clever kills, but out of sheer excitement, out of the flush of satisfaction. Sure, it's not a great movie, but unlike anything I'd seen today, it's a good movie, a pleasing movie. Seabiscuit, with all its schmaltz, wiped away my cynicism. It's now nearly midnight. I'm done for the day, utterly fried, and I wasn't able to see the one blockbuster I truly wanted for this report, so I'm really looking forward to The Legend of Suryo Thai, the biggest film in the history of Thailand, a 3-hour epic of conflict without bullets or car chases, a story of love and betrayal, yet no woman is called bitch. A cast of thousands and not one a pampered Hollywood star. A film with hundreds of elephants. I mean actual flesh and blood elephants. Wow. Talk about your blockbuster.
Kevin Murphy is the author of the book A Year at the Movies, One Man's Film-Going Odyssey.